Me right here, y'all. Well, I think there was 40, 41 or two of us from our church. And let's get up here now, y'all. Amen. I'm going to get my mic on here, y'all. Amen. Hello. One, two.
One, two.
Down. All right. Now, look, since there's just a few of us, we're going to have to come on up. Come on up here, boys. I want to hear these boys sing for the glory of God. Amen. I don't even know what we're singing. Do I know this song? Huh? Lordy mercy, I don't know. I'll just do like this. That's what you do when you don't know the words. And act like you're getting a blessing. You know, and I always said that, just say peanut butter if you don't know the words. Just say peanut butter. And nobody don't never know the difference. But anyway, we had a great time. We really did. And boy, we on that bus, I told them, we left, I said, you go to the bathroom three times, don't drink nothing, because we kept that thing on the road. And I was real proud of them. We didn't stop but one time till we got to Nebo, made the second time. Had to drop some off, and they did real good. They said, Brother Danny, I got to go to the bathroom. I said, just a little bit. Brother Danny, I got to go to the bathroom. Just a little bit. A little bit means another 40, 50 miles. And but they made it. The problem with stopping is, if you stop, then everybody's got to go. And girl, they'd stop, have to go to the bathroom, and then come out with a Mountain Dew that high. And 10 miles down the road, got to go again. So, but anyway, we had fun. And you going to preach?
No.
Amen. Amen. You don't. I want somebody to say something. Be the representative. Christian, why don't you say something? You look like a preacher this morning. This young man went. Say something.
Well, this past week, it's been a blessing to actually have camp because while I wasn't at camp, after summer camp, my fire, we were talking about this in the Sunday school, my fire just started going down from the Lord.
Yeah.
And then that Sunday, I wasn't really planning on going, and I just signed up, and then fire
during that week, it just went right up. Like
the bonfire
we had
up there,
it's
as big like that. And I want to spread the bonfire throughout this whole year, try to spread the word of God.
Amen. You know, it's so funny. They had fireworks, I guess that's Wednesday night? Wednesday night. I mean, some big one. Boom, man. Out in the church, out in the big old field, and they shot fireworks off, and they went bowling, took them bowling. And they was all in there shooting off those fireworks. And Thursday night, we had a big service Wednesday night. It blew out Wednesday night. And then someone told them, they said, so-and-so said they wasn't coming because in Alabama football, the Alabama football team, it's like religion. It's like their savior, a lot of people. Like people here are about Carolina basketball. You know, they're like that about football, Duke, whatever. And I told him, I said, listen, you get down and you ask the Lord, does He want you to go watch the ball game or come to church? And sure enough, a bunch of them didn't come, and Alabama got beat. And I said, glory to God, hallelujah. That's what you get, amen. Pride goes before destruction, the Holy Spirit before what? Oh, amen. You got to watch that stuff. Better keep your priorities straight. I loved it when they got beat. I loved it. I said, hallelujah. All them millions of people have no idea why they got beat. I know why. 10 people laid out of church and didn't come to youth camp. No, we had a good time. We really did. All right. Say something right quick before we sing. Say something for the Lord. Go ahead.
Well, I'm glad I had fun down at camp, just not shooting fireworks and stuff, but I had good Christian, clean fun with my Christian friends.
Amen.
You don't have to be in the world to have fun.
Amen, brother. That's good. Amen.
I'm glad I'm safe.
Amen, brother. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm just glad I'm safe.
Somebody else want to say something? Amen. Jeremy preached. Dusty preached. All these girls preached. Where's Boo Boo Maydean? Where's Boo Boo Maydean? There she is. Come out here. She preached a little bit. There she is. Amen. Amen. These girls preached, and we had some other preachers preach. Not in church, but they preached on the bus. Anybody else want to say something? Right quick. I want to say something. Appreciate Brother John. He worked all week, drove down there and back, cleaned the mess up. Brother John was a real blessing this week. We want to thank him. But anyway, I don't know what y'all are going to say. Miss Alden, got it figured out over there. Go ahead, brother.
I'm sorry, I won't take real long. You know, I went down there. I almost didn't go down from making excuses. You know, my back got hurt, and I went right all the way down there, hurting back, and I went ahead and went. My back's sore a little bit. But the other day, Brother Brandon Bruce called on me to preach, and I had it all figured out in my head what I was going to do. I was going to read the scripture, preach the message, give a testimony. Read the scripture, preach the message, give a testimony. But I got up there, and it was like I was holding a big deck of cards, and it just went everywhere. I mean, there's pieces over here, and I couldn't get it together. I couldn't get my thoughts straight. I done made a mess of this thing. Went way too long. And I guess when I was taken back down, I was just ashamed. I went back to the motel room. I'm sitting there in the motel just crying. I was like, man, I just messed it up, Lord. I'm so sorry. I just failed you. You know, I'm calling Michelle. I'm texting Brother Danny. Just a wreck, you know. I didn't want to go back at night. But I went back and I sit in the back. I was kind of afraid to go in. You know, I get back to the motel that night. I'm thinking, ain't nobody heard. The devil's laughing at me. You're a preacher? You big clown? You're a fool? You ain't done nothing? Brother Jimmy, I tell you what, I got back to that motel, getting ready to get on the elevator. This little girl, about 6 or 7 years old, walks up and she said, that was good preaching this morning. And I said, woo! That devil's a liar! He ain't going to stop it. Brother Dan preached on that Pony Express by getting on that pony. If you fall off, get back on. Get the mail out there and praise God. By the grace of God, that's what I'm going to do. Don't let the devil stop you, brother. Don't let it determine y'all. The devil's liar. He don't want you to get out there and preach the gospel. He don't want anybody to know, because once they go all to hell. But by the grace of God, I'm not going to let him stop me.
Group had sang a song on our children and them not winning accolades and sports events, but just them doing something for the Lord. And
amen.
And God knows my heart, and that's all I care about. And I kind of got some bad news on one of my children, on, you know, what they were going to be able to be, you know, when they grow up or what. Whatever, you know, what the world says they're going to be able to do. But you know what? I really don't care what the world says.
That's
they're
right.
Going to be able to do.
Amen.
What God says they're going to be able to
Amen.
Do. What matters. And,
Amen.
And why that camp was able to give them what Jesus was able to do in that camp, and what He's able to do here, and everything's what matters. And that is, I thank the Lord for what He done there and what He's doing in this church and what He's doing in their hearts. And
amen.
I just love Him.
Hallelujah. All right. Ready? Go ahead. Amen. Hope it's a blessing to you.
Every morning when I wake up to see the sun, I can't help but think about the Lord and all the things He's done.
Amen. Woo!
He meets my every
Lord
need.
God.
He's been so good to me, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done.
For all He's done, I'm gonna lift my hands.
That's right. Amen.
I've got to live my life to please Him.
Come on.
Even though I don't deserve to live, my life is just begun.
Isn't that a blessing this morning?
Lord,
all He's done. He's been there for you too. God's done something for you, hasn't He?
There are many things that I could pray. If I started now until I died, there'd still be many more. I could mention only one.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I have to thank Him for His Son, and that's enough to praise the Lord for all He's done.
Amen. say?
He's done.
Amen.
I'm gonna lift my hands and praise Him.
Hallelujah.
For all He's done. I try to live my life to please Him. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun.
Amen.
And I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done.
Amen.
He's done.
Say it, y'all.
I'm gonna lift my hands and praise Him for all He's done. I try to live my life to please Him, even though I don't deserve to live.
Amen.
My life has just begun, and
amen.
I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done.
Amen. Isn't that a blessing? All right. Y'all get it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wasn't that a blessing? Amen. Hallelujah. I think some of you ain't woke up yet. Amen. All right. Let's get our Bibles open now, right quickly. John chapter 15. Everybody look at John chapter 15 for a minute this morning. And I'll hurry along, move right along here quickly this morning. And have you out of here by 2 o'clock, guarantee it, I think. Now, it won't take me just a few minutes. John chapter 15 this morning. And I want to look at verse 3. And we had a thought last Sunday, and I'm going to use that same thought, but a completely different approach. How to stay clean in 2015. How are you going to stay clean in 2015? This world is so dirty. Morally, spiritually, physically even. Diseases and germs and dirt. How are we going to stay clean through 2015? Now, I want to take just a minute this morning and give you a challenge here from the Bible. Jesus said, look at verse 3, now ye are clean, how? Through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Now, I want to use that as a thought this morning. And I want to talk about the new year that we're in and a few things about it. And just give us a brand new, fresh start. Actually, I'm glad there is such a thing as new year. I'm glad there's such a thing as time when we just, all right, clean the slate, start all over, make a new, fresh start. I'm glad it's like that. Be like a ball game. I'm glad the ball game's over. You get a chance to try it again. If you get beat, try it another time. That's the way this year. If you've had failures and problems in this year, let's shoot for a better year in 2015. Amen? Now, I want to say this morning that we're standing on the threshold. We're in the open door. We are treading on a borderline that we've never trod before. Another year is open. Another year is gone. We passed the darkness of the night. We're in the early morn. We've left the fields behind us over which we've scattered seed. We pass into the future that none of us can read. Then hasten to fresh labor to thresh and reap and sow. And bid this new year welcome and let that old year go. I want to say a few things this morning about how we're going to stay clean in 2015. The answer, ladies and gentlemen, is simple. Jesus said you're clean through the Word of God. The Bible is soap. You get dirt on you from being up. You can't go out there in the world 2 hours without some of it rubbing off on you. It's just like going out and playing in the yard. You get dirty, you take a bath. How many of you this morning took a bath or a shower before you came to church this morning? I can sort of tell the ones that are not. Nobody's sitting near you. I'm just kidding. But you know what? Most of us did. I did. And you know what? I'll take another one tomorrow, whether I need it or not. And another the next day. You have to stay clean. You have to keep rubbing soap on you to stay clean. Keep rubbing it. Keep rubbing it. Because you naturally get dirty. You get dirty without even trying to. You don't do nothing, lay around, you get dirty. It comes out of you. You have to wash to stay clean. The same thing is true with your soul. So let's take a look this morning at the Bible. The Bible said give attendance to reading. 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 I'm going to challenge you this morning. Read your Bible. Start on it. This is only the 5th. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 4th. Right? This is only January the 4th. You still have plenty of time to read your Bible through. I want to challenge everybody in here this morning to go start in Genesis and go through the whole Bible this year. You say, I'm not a good reader. Read slow. Try to pronounce the words. You can still do it. You say, well, preacher, I can't read it all. You can get it on CD. You can put it in your CD player and listen to Genesis, Exodus, all the way through. There is no excuse. Can you hear? If you can't hear, you can see and read it. If you can't read, you can hear it, surely. And you can get the Word of God all the way through in 2015. Now, let's think about it this morning. Patrick Henry said that the Bible is a book worth all other books. John Locke said, it is truth without any mixture of error. It's the only book in the world that has no mistakes, no errors, no bad advice. Everything in the Bible is true. It has 1,189 inspired chapters. 929 of the Old Testament, 260 in the New Testament. It has 31,175 verses. The Bible has 810,697 words and 3,566,480 inspired letters. If you read 10 chapters of your Bible per day, 10 chapters per day, you can read it through 3 times this coming year. So that means that just a little over 3 per day, you can read the entire Bible through this year. There is not a person in here that's too busy to do that. I've got plenty to do too. I'd put my schedule up against anybody's in here. I got more to do than I get done. You just pick out which way you want to go. And there's always somebody needing something, somewhere you need to go. Somebody needs visit. Somebody needs marriage counseling. You need to pray. You need to read. You need to plan stuff. You need to work on stuff. Constantly, you can go 24 hours a day. But you have to make time. You don't have time. You make time to read the Word of God. The Bible is a great book. It's the greatest in the world. You can read 5 chapters in the Old Testament and 5 in the New Testament and go through the Old Testament twice and the New Testament nearly 4 times this year. You can only read 5 chapters a day and read the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice and have plenty of days left over in case something happens or you miss some days. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening to me? You need to read your Bible. You can read 5 chapters a day. Well, what I do in my daily Bible reading, I read 3 in the Old, which means right now I'm in Genesis, that would be 10, 11, 12 today. And I read 2 in the New, so I'm in Matthew 7 and 8 today. I've already read that, Matthew. I'll read Genesis as soon as I get home. I keep my marker right where I leave off. So I have Genesis 1, 2, 3, marker. Matthew 1, 2, marker. Genesis 4, 5, 6, marker. Genesis 4, Matthew 3, 3 and 4, marker. And keep your marker, go there, and you'll read the whole Old Testament and get done in October if you read every day, and the New Testament twice, and probably get done even sooner than that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can do it. You can do it. Start today. Make up your mind. You know, you get bogged down. I know a lot of people start reading their Bible, and there's words you can't pronounce. I'm the same way. There's words in the Bible I still don't know if I pronounce them. I hear preachers say them different ways. But here's what I do. Do the best you can. I'd read through there, and I'd say, this guy was Maher Shaler Hashbaz. That's his name. How'd you like to have a name like that? Maher Shaler Hashbaz. That's the longest word in the Bible. And I don't know if you're supposed to say it like it. It may be Mahaler Shabazz. I don't know. I don't know where the emphasis goes, but that's the way I say it. Mayher, Shaler, Hashbaz. And I have no idea if that's right or not. But you know what? It's in that Bible, and I'm going to read it. When I first got saved, I remember Lord in mercy, you'd have cracked up if you'd have heard us trying to read the Bible. When I first got saved, I didn't know. Philemon, Philemon. You still hear people say that different. You still hear people pronounce Hezekiah, Malachi. I call Malachi Malachi. I call it Malachi for I don't know how long. I remember doing that. I'd say it's over there in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. I bring all the tithes in the I didn't have I had no clue what I was talking about. And I remember, for all we knew, Sodom and Gomorrah was a man's wife. I didn't know. An epistle might have been an apostle's wife. I don't know. And for a reason some of y'all ain't laughing, you still don't know the difference. After all this time going to church. And you know why? Stick your nose in that. You like Facebook? Stick your face in that book right there. The preaching of the Word of God, the reading of the Word of God is the only way any of us are going to stay right in 2015. You don't stay right because you willpower. You don't stay right because you have more strength than anybody else. He said, "Ye are clean through the Word that I've spoken unto you." I didn't mention it. We got the sister back there from down there at Waxhaw Cornelius, wherever you're from. Raise your hand back there, sister. See her and all that row of gentlemen, they're bodyguards this morning. All them people come from way down yonder. And one of them, they said, listen to me on the radio every day. And they want to come up and visit our church. And you know what got them here? That book right there. That book right there. People are hungry for that book. That book will do something to you. That book will do it. And I know I've heard all excuses you can make. But I'm telling you one thing. Nothing will take the place of reading this book. 20 minutes a day, you can go through it. You say, "Preacher, I don't have 20 minutes a day." That is not true. You know it, and I know it, and God knows it, so quit lying. You eat 20 minutes a day. Three times. 1 hour a day, you eat. I'll guarantee you that just about every one of you folks that never read the Bible because you don't have time to eat. And the reason you do, because you want to take care of that flesh and starve your soul. Lord have mercy, y'all. It's going to get worse, so just say amen. You ought to appreciate me trying to help you and encourage you to read the Bible. Amen? You sure should. You ought to appreciate it. I'll tell you one thing you'll do. You'll quit sinning and you'll quit reading. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. You will quit your sinning or quit your reading. If you're sinning here today, read 10 chapters a day this week and come back next week if you ain't brought them. You know what, brother? You know what I'll do? Sin will drive you crazy if you try to read the Bible and sin. You're going to quit one or the other. You'll quit your sinning or you'll quit your Bible reading. I want to say a few things about the Bible this morning. I want to say a few things about it, reading the Word of God. I wrote these down last night. I want to say, you know what? You know what reading the Bible does? Reading the Bible means first you're obeying God. You're obeying God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God shall man live. You say, "Well, I just read certain places and I skip around and all that." You're not obeying God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Every word of it. That means Hezekiah. That means Obadiah. That means Malachi. That means Ezekiel. Every bit of it. I mean, I've read them Ezekiel, man. I finished my New Testament through for the 85th time the other day. And I've read the Old Testament 30 sometimes, something like that. And I'm ashamed of that. Should be a whole lot more. But every time I come through there, I started in Genesis the other night in Alabama. And I said, "And God said, let there be a..." And it jumped out at me and grabbed a hold of me. I had to push myself to get on through it. I wanted to get hung up right there. And so anyway, I saw it like I'd never saw it before. It jumped. I could see God speaking and planets and stars and moon. Let me tell you something. God wasn't kidding when He said, "Live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." He was not joking. He meant what He said. Make up your mind this morning. I don't care if you're in the 7th grade. I don't care if you're in the 4th grade. You seen these kids up here a while ago. You are obeying God when you read His Word. I want to say also this morning, when you read the Bible, you are taking you get scriptural views of things and not just the way the world looks at things. If a person reads the Bible a lot, any issue that comes up, you automatically think scripturally about it instead of worldly about it. I get around some Christians and hear the way they talk about the world. I know one thing for sure, they ain't spending no time in that book. Because that book will shape your thinking. And that book will make you see things through the lens of the Scripture. And you look at it like that and say, oh yeah. I was at a man's house not long ago. I was talking to him. And there was rocks. He was at a creek. There was big old rocks sticking up out of this creek. And I looked at him and I said, man, isn't that something? The way them rocks got there. And I was thinking, God made them rocks. And then during the flood, they washed down off of that mountain, and that's why they're all jagged and stick up like this. That's why the rock in the mountain, it looks like the strata is going that way. It's hardly ever straight. Something just rocked them things, buddy, and knocked them off a level. And I'm thinking the flood, Noah's flood, the foundations of the earth were out of course. Also, I'm thinking when Jesus died, the Bible said the earth quake, it shook. There was an earthquake and a half that day when Jesus died. So I'm thinking all this. And you know what He said? He said, yeah, those things oozed up out of the center of the earth and the volcanic ash and everything. He's thinking Discovery Channel and History Channel. I'm thinking Bible. Now, that's why you got to read your Bible. If you don't read your Bible, you'll start thinking like the world thinks instead of like a Christian thinks. And I'm going to tell you something, buddy. Somebody is bad wrong. Them rocks didn't ooze up out of the center of the earth 20 million years ago and cool off from the volcanic ash and then just dry up there. God made them. He put the foundations in, and then when the flood came, it rocked it out of whack, and then water had been running down through there ever since. You think scripturally. You think scripturally about religion. You think, we hear a lot about Islam today. We hear a lot on the news about Islam. They're even teaching courses in some colleges about how we're to be open and tolerant of Islam. And there was a man down in Texas that lived in an apartment complex, was told he couldn't fly the American flag. Could not fly the American flag at his apartment because it would offend the Muslim community in Israel. That's how crazy our nation has become. Y'all listen to me this morning. That's how crazy our nation has become this morning. We don't think scripturally anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the Bible, if you'll read your Bible, when somebody comes up and says, there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is His prophet, in my mind, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Christianity and Islam cannot coexist. They are not equally true. One of them wrong, and I know which one it was, because Jesus don't lie. He said nobody comes to God except through Him. And that's it, buddy. That's it. We think scripturally. Say amen right there. And y'all scared to say amen. You say, Brother Danny, don't you know this on the internet? Yes, I know it's on the internet. What am I supposed to do? Quit preaching the truth? Listen, there's coming a time when we may seal our testimony over what we believe. The reason some of you don't believe nothing, you don't read nothing. Jesus said, I am the way. No man, you cannot get to God except through Jesus Christ. According to the Bible, the Catholic Church teaches that Mary was the mother of God and that she never sinned and was caught up to heaven a perpetual virgin, which made her a sinner, defrauding her husband Joseph. According to the Bible. You see, we think scripturally. That made Mary a sinner. She stayed a virgin all her life. Amen? And they said she never sinned. But she brought that turtle dove and pigeon to offer for her sins. That's because we read the Bible. If you read the Bible, you understand that. The Catholic Church teaches that when the priest blesses the Mass, that it actually becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And when a Catholic partakes of the Mass, they are actually eating the body of Christ. That's cannibalism. We Christians know the Bible. It teaches it's a symbol. The bread and cup is a symbol of His body, symbol of His blood. You say, well, why do you have to be so controversial, preacher? Because that book is controversial. Say amen right there. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we know what the Bible says about creation. We know what the Bible says about abortion. The world's out there fussing, are you pro-life or are you pro-choice? Wrong choice of terms, friend. It's pro-life, pro-death. If you ain't pro-life, you're pro-death. We believe in letting them live, they believe in killing them. Let's talk straight, okay? And you think, I can't stand this beating around the bush. And somebody said you're pro-life or pro-choice. No. Talk plain. Pro-life, pro-death. We believe in letting it live, they believe in killing it. Reason we believe in letting it live, because 4 or 5 times in the Bible, God called an unborn child a child and a baby and even named 1 or 2 of them while they're still in their mother's womb. You don't name a mass of tissue. You don't ordain a blob to preach. You don't call his name John if he's not a person. And you don't call it a baby if it's not a baby. The Holy Spirit called it a baby. Now I'm going to bring up something worse than that this morning. Don't get up and walk out. Don't get mad at me. I'd say, if I'm going to be true to my calling, I got to say this. I'm not trying to be ugly. I know how unpolitically correct what I'm getting ready to say is. But it's coming to time. We've got to say it. We don't hate nobody. Amen? I don't hate nobody. I ain't better than nobody. There ain't one person on this earth better than anybody else. We're all sinners and all of us ought to be in hell. But if I'm going to preach the Bible, I've got to tell you the Bible definition of a marriage is a man and a woman. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I understand some of you people sitting in here today have kin folks. You say, well, my sister's gay and my brother. I know that's almost every one of us nowadays. I don't know if I do, but most of us probably do. Don't know about. You got in your family and you'll say, oh, no, Brother Danny, don't say nothing that's going to offend them. Don't say nothing that's going to offend them. I've got to say it. Just like adultery. People come living adultery, say something about it. People come drunk, you say something about it. We ain't picking on nobody, and we don't hate nobody. You're the ones that hate people. That talk about people, that's try to help people. You're the hater. I don't hate nobody. I love everybody. I hope everybody gets saved. But I'm telling you, it is wrong. You say, they even join churches now. They have homosexual weddings. They have homosexual churches. The pastor and everybody in there. And they think, well, this is the way God made it. I'm telling you, God didn't make you like that. He didn't make you a murderer. You choose to murder. He didn't make you a drunk. You choose to drink. He didn't make you a homosexual. You choose to be one. You watch so much TV, you know what's wrong with some of you people? All you do is listen to the world, and that's why you think like the world. And I read the Bible, and that's why I think like the Bible. That Bible won't let me think no other way. I don't like getting myself in trouble like this. This is all over the world. I could die for what I'm preaching. I'm not trying to sound dramatic, but I can't. As the old preacher says, my conscience is bound by the Word of God. Amen. We as Christians got to do that. Amen? This book will teach you how to raise kids. The world will say, if you ever spank your kids, it'll ruin them. And you're dumb enough to believe that if you don't read the Bible. That Bible teaches one end to the other. The rod of correction. The rod of correction. One lady said, well, I've never had to spank my kids. And I said, lady, there ain't never been but one kid that didn't need spanking. And it wasn't yours. And it wasn't mine. Mine's sitting over there. They need one today. Too big to give them one, but listen, I needed one. You needed one. Your little brats need one. They all need one. Where did I get that? Out of the Bible. You know what my hope for the future is? You know what somebody said? They said something like, boy, in the world getting better, gas has gone down, and oh my goodness, good times are... Listen, you honestly don't think they love us and trying to do us a favor, do you? Surely, you don't think that the government's saying, well, we sure do love them people. We're going to drop the price. Ain't something up way bigger than what me and you know. What they're going to do? Make you schedule about 3 vacations this summer and then jack it up $4 and get all your money. It'll go back. You mark it down. You say, where do you get that? Thinking like the Bible. You know why you ought to read your Bible every day this year? Make you think straight. You avoid pitfalls. How many times have we not fell into sin because of that book right there? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You want to live clean 2015? Read your Bible. Gonna read it through? Make up your mind. Listen, you say, well, Brother Danny, I just read back in there in 2 Kings and Chronicles, and I read all them names, and the devil will tell you all they are is names and chronicles. There's about 3 or 4 pages of names, and then the rest of it's good stuff and stories that'll bless you. You'll be reading along through there, and may hurt you, and you think, could not. I'm going to read it. Preacher said read it. And then right in the middle there, and it said, and God made him to prosper and blessed him. You think, Lord of God, thank you, Lord, right there. See, that's why you need to read it all. All of it. Every word of God. Our hope for the future is we think according to this book. You know what the world's hope for the future is? Keep working at it, and one day we'll learn how to cure diseases. They was going to eradicate disease back in the 60s, and they said by now there wouldn't be no disease. That's what they thought. They thought there wouldn't be no disease, and now we got Ebola and AIDS and God knows what. Ain't no telling what everybody's got nowadays. You don't know. I'm telling you something, brother. We knew this was going to happen. It said famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And buddy, I'm telling you today, we know about the future. We ain't looking for a big world leader to come straighten out the mess we're in. We're looking for Jesus to come from the sky and blow the trumpet and call us out of here and take us home to be with Him. We think like the Bible wants us to think. We avoid many pitfalls. I ain't got time to get into all what I was going to say this morning. Did you know this year, atheists rented billboards all over the South. And they put up big billboards and said, the billboard said, had a little girl, Dear Santa, all I want for Christmas is to skip church. I'm too old for fairy tales. Talking to Santa Claus. I'm too old for fairy tales. All I want for Christmas is to skip church. Now, I ain't a prophet, but I'm going to tell you something. Here's my prophecy. Ain't no telling what we're liable to see this year. There's no telling. The stops are coming out. It's going to get worse and worse and worse if Jesus don't come. But I know what I do. I know where I've found comfort all these years in what that book says. It ain't never failed me yet. It tells me where I come from, what I'm doing here, and where I'm going. That's better than what they got. Go to the University of North Carolina tomorrow and say, can y'all tell me what the future will be for the next few thousand years? Well, they'll say, you crazy? Nobody knows. Yeah, I do too. We know it. The Lord's going to come. There's going to be 7 years tribulation. The Antichrist is going to sit on His throne. They're going to make people put a mark on their right hand, their forehead. And they're going, you say, well, you know that the college professor don't? Yeah, I ain't no better than he is. I just read the Bible and he don't. That's why he tell you to read your Bible. Stay in it. Let's make up our mind. We're going to start afresh. For you, I'll say this and I'm through. For you that have messed up this year, I got a little something for you. For you that said, Brother Danny, my marriage is in a mess. My home's in a mess. I failed the Lord. I'm sinning. I'm just messed up, preacher. Here's what I'm going to say to you. And we'll stop. When you've trusted God and walked His way, when you failed His hand, lead you day by day. But your steps now take you another way, start over. When you made your plans and they've gone awry, and you tried your best, but there's no more try. When you failed yourself and you don't know why, start over. When you told your friends what you planned to do, when you trusted them and they didn't come through, and now you're all alone and it's up to you, start over. When you failed your kids and they've grown and gone, and then you've done your best, but it's turned out wrong. And now your grandchildren have come along. start over. When you prayed to God so you'll know His will, when you prayed and prayed and you don't know, still. When you want to stop because you've had your fill, start over. When you pray to God and you want to know His will, start over, folks. When you think you're finished and you want to quit and you bottomed out in life's deepest pit, when you've tried and tried to get out of it, start over. When the year has been long and the success is few, when December comes and you're feeling blue, God gives a January just for you. Start over. Amen. Starting over means victory's won. Starting over means a race well run. Starting over means God's will done. Don't just sit there. Start over. Let's start over. Start over with our wives and our husbands. Start over reading our Bible. Today, fresh start. You say, well, Brother Dan, ain't no use in me starting over. I fail over. Start over anyway. God will help you if you'll start over. They're coming to get us a song. Everyone stand. Bow your head, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed.